Okay, R2, Luke called as he made the last of the connections. I think we're ready to try it. Cross your fingers. From the next room came a complicated series of electronic jabbers. Probably, Luke decided, the droid reminding him that he didn't have any fingers to cross. Fingers. For a moment, Luke looked down at his right hand, flexing his fingers and feeling the unpleasant pins and needles tingling numbness there. It had been 5 years since he'd really thought of the hand as being a machine attached to his arm. Now, suddenly, it was impossible to think of it as anything but that. R2 beeped impatiently. Right, Luke agreed, forcing his attention away from his hand as best he could and moving the end of the wire toward what he hoped was the proper contact point. It could have been worse, he realized. The hand could have been designed with only a single power supply, in which case he wouldn't have even this much use of it. Here goes, he said, and touched the wire. And with no fuss or dramatics whatsoever, the door slid quietly open. Got it, Luke hissed. Carefully, trying not to lose the contact point, he leaned over and peered outside. The sun was starting to sink behind the trees, throwing long shadows across the compound. From his position, Luke could see only a little of the grounds, but what he could see seemed to be deserted. Setting his feet, he let go of the wire and dived for the doorway. With the contact broken, the door slid shut again, nearly catching his left ankle as he hit the ground and rolled awkwardly into a crouch. He froze, waiting to see if the noise would spark any reaction. But the silence continued, and after a few seconds, he got to his feet and ran to the shed's other door. R2 had been right. There was indeed no lock on this half of the shed. Luke hit the release, threw one last glance around, and slipped inside. The droid beeped an enthusiastic greeting, bobbing back and forth awkwardly in the restraint collar, a torus-shaped device that fits snugly around his legs and wheels. Quiet, R2, Luke warned the other, kneeling down to examine the collar. And hold still. He'd been worried that the collar would be locked or intertwined into R2's wheel system in some way, requiring special tools to disengage. But the device was much simpler than that. It merely held enough of the droid's weight off the floor so that he couldn't get any real traction. Luke released a pair of clasps and pushed the hinged halves apart, and R2 was free. Come on, he told the droid, and headed back to the door. As far as he could see, the compound was still deserted. The ship's around that way, he whispered, pointing toward the central building. Looks like the best approach would be to circle to the left, keeping inside the trees as much as we can. Can you handle the terrain? R2 raised his scanner, beeped a cautious affirmative. Okay, keep an eye out for anyone coming out of the buildings. They'd made it into the woods and were perhaps a quarter of the way around the circle when R2 gave a warning chirp. Freeze! Luke whispered, stopping dead beside a large tree trunk and hoping they were enough in the shadows. His own black outfit should blend adequately into the darkening forest background, but R2's white and blue were another matter entirely.